Welcome to another class, another message from this series of messages, the Parables of the Bible. We are looking from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation. We're looking at the secret of election. We looked at those that God hates. We looked at the mystery of election. We've seen many of these very puzzling subjects from God's Word. We looked at the book of Malachi. Malachi means my messenger, my angel, my messenger. We have looked at the first chapter of the book of Malachi, the oracle of the word of the Lord, the word of Jehovah, to Israel through Malachi. Israel. Now, before we read anything else, we're going to go into the second chapter. We're going to talk about the secret of election. What makes God do and act the way He does? We know that God is just, don't we? We know that God has revealed Himself through His creation, do we not? You can look at the creation of God, and we can see that God left His fingerprints all over it. We look to God from intuition. We know there's a God from within every man that has been created. There is the calling of God to him, intuition. And we know by special revelation about the person of God. Now, I have a little map on the wall here in our little Western headquarters of discovertheword.com. Not much in here, but it's sufficient. In eternity past, way back over yonder, okay? This is eternity past. We know that God made all the plans that ever happened, that would ever take place. God does not work on emergency planning like we do. We can make plans, but then things come up. With God, He has one eternal purpose and one unpreventable progress. One eternal purpose and unpreventable progress. God wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life before He ever created one thing. Now, we talked about election the last few times. Now, if I can find my paper here. We talked about election. We talked about supralapsarianism. Last week we talked about our last message. We talked about the mystery of election. Now, according to how you look at election is the way you're going to interpret the Bible. My preface is, let's the Bible interpret to us about election, the secret, the mystery of election. Let God's Word tell us what the Bible says, what we should believe. Now, remember that one of the basic, the very basic prefaces is that God revealed Himself through His creation to mankind, to all men. All men know that God, that there is a God, normally. All men know that there is a God by the creation. God left His fingerprints on it. Number two, that God, through intuition and of every person, reveals Himself to their spirit, to their souls. Number three, that God has revealed Himself to mankind through special revelation, which is the Word of God, and prophecies. Now, in eternity past, we have in the mind of God, we have the church, And we have Israel. We have the church in Israel. And I will say this to you also, that the church and Israel are two entities. Both of them are elected by God for a purpose. Now, I want to, so this is going to throw a real curve to some of you. There's the church and Israel and the family of God. The family of God entails all of those that are saved. The church and Israel and the family of God. Even those that are saved that are not part of the church ever are part of the family of God, and they are elected unto salvation. Now let's go back and look at the three tenets, or the four tenets, actually, of interpretation of theology and interpretation of the Bible. What we call TULIP, the five-point Calvinist, this is what we call supralapsarian. Then we have infralapsarian. We have sublapsarians, and we have modified sublapsarians that are Calvinist. I've had many people in my life, as I tried to teach to them, they would not say that, they won't say they were Calvinists, but they believe in the security of the believer, and they believe in the tenets of Calvinism, but they would not say it. They'd rather be an Arminian. They thought that maybe somehow they had to keep their salvation after they got it. God began the process of salvation, but then we must keep that process. That is Arminianism. Arminianism and Calvinism are two separate polars, like Democrats and Republicans. Opposite poles. And they are opposite, boy. I mean, they fight each other. They want to go one way or the other. There can't be a mixture. You're all wrong and I'm all right. The Arminian heresy, I will say, is a heresy. It is a heresy in that it attributes to mankind the ability to call himself God. Not only to do that, but to maintain his salvation. There is no maintenance of salvation. Salvation is by grace and grace alone. The supralapsarians believe that God elected some and reprobated others. That's the first decree he meant. Number two, to create man. This is what we call supralapsarian. That means before the fall, God elected people. In other words, he created the damned, the reprobate, and the elect in that state. Now, since we just made a very, very monumental and foundational statement a while ago that God, through intuition, calls all men to himself, that God, through his creation, reveals himself to all mankind, there's something wrong with this statement here. To permit or necessitate the fall, number three. Number four, to procure salvation for the elect through the atonement. And number five, to regenerate the elect by irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. This is what we call total hereditary depravity, that either you're so depraved that you cannot come to God, and those that are the elect have antennas to where they can have reception with God. Number two, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and preservation of the saints. And all of that is in this supralapsarian. This is what we call five-point Calvinism. Now, I must say that I do not agree with that. And I do not agree to the next premise and foundation of these people that interpret the Bible as such. The infralapsarians, that means during the fall, God elected the reprobate and the elect. First of all, to create man. That's in the first decree. Now, all of these people believe that. The supralapsarians believe that God elected and reprobated others before he decreed to elect man. Now, In eternity past, before man was created, there was also angels and spirits. And we know that these angels and spirits had a will also. They have volition. Everything that God has ever created has volition. Slight frog in my throat. Hope it's a slight one. Man, by intuition, by creation, and by special revelation, is called unto God. What you do with that call, you're responsible for. No man goes to hell because of sin. They go to hell because of rejecting Jesus Christ. And I will say this now, that God's Son died for all mankind. That blood, the atonement, is for all mankind. But it is only efficacious to those that believe. And for lapsarians, that God decreed to create man, that God decreed to permit and necessitate the fall of man, that God decreed to elect some to eternal life, that God decreed to procure salvation for the elect through the atonement, that God decreed to regenerate the elect by irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. That means irresistible grace. Here we still have limited atonement, we still have irresistible grace, and we still have a little bit of exaggerated total hereditary depravity. The preservation of the saint, both of these believe that God preserves these saints. Now the sublapsarians. Let's look at the sublapsarian interpretation. The secret to election is how you interpret the Bible with these saints. Sublapsarianism, the decree to create man, the decree to permit the fall of man, the decree to provide a ransom price for all mankind. This is unlimited atonement. The decree to elect some to eternal life through faith. This means that some have faith, some do not have it. To convict the world of sin, which is true. And number four, or six, that is, to regenerate the elect by our irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. So we still have an irresistible grace in sublapsarianism. Now, modified sublapsarian believes, and this is what I believe, to create man, the secret to election. To create man, to permit the fall of man, to provide a ransom price for all, to elect those foreknown to believe, to convict the world of sin, and to regenerate all those who believe. Now, everything from the left of this is Arminianism. The Arminian idea is the Lutheran Arminian idea. Provide a ransom price for all mankind. First of all, to create man, to permit the fall, to provide a ransom price for all mankind. So far, that's good in it. Here's where we have the problem. To give to all men the means of salvation through moral ability, that is not true. We don't have anything in us. The Word of God says, no man can come to the Son except the Father draw him. And also the Father draws all men unto him, that he is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, further in the Arminian idea is to elect those foreknown to believe and persevere with a created ability to do this within each person. Now, God says in Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for in grace ye are having been saved. This is my own translation of that. For in grace you are having been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. The faith doesn't come from you. It doesn't originate from you. Israel is elected unto God forever. Israel. the church is elected unto God, and it will stand for all eternity. In heaven, there will be many guests to the wedding of the bride. In heaven, there will be many servants to the bride. And in heaven, there will be, for 1,000 years, the New Jerusalem will be above the earth, and 1,000 years down on earth, Israel, with probably the resurrected David, will be serving the Lord. There will be 1,000 feasts of booths or tabernacles celebrated on this earth. They will look back and see what they could have had. Israel will never be part of the bride. The secret to election is to separate the bride, the church, from Israel and even the family of God. Now let's go on further in the what we might call hyper-Armenian. And this we have Pentecostals, Church of Christ to some extent. The Methodist and many other groups, even some forms of Amen McPherson's Foursquare. The decree to create man, the decree to permit the fall of man, the decree to remit the guilt of the original sin, basically through Christ's baptism. Baptism in the name of Christ. Here we have the Church of Christ, baptizing for the regeneration. You're baptized in Christ for the forgiveness of sins up to that point and the original sin, and then you got to take care of all the rest of it yourself. This is heresy. To elect those foreknown to believe and to persevere will have that ability to persevere. Now let's go back and look in history for a moment. In eternity past, God decreed all things. He decreed his eternal purpose and unpreventable progress. When he did this, he wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. He knew who Abraham would be. He knew who Isaac would be. He knew that he would create Adam. He knew that he would take out of Adam, he would create Eve. And by the way, I want to throw this one at you also, people out there, with your little thinking caps. I hope that you're thinking about the secrets of election. Now God, in his creation, we have immediate creation. Marilyn, do you remember what immediate creation is?
It's nature.
God created everything from nothing but himself. Immediate creation is that which he created primarily from him. This is what we call, some people call ex nihilo. But actually it comes out of God. God created even nothing. He created the space that the universe is in. Now the immediate creation of God means you are created. This is a exact creation of something immediately. It's not created. You're not created from something else. Now also from the Hebrew language, it said that God created man from the same elements he created the dust of the ground. Not from it. Man is a primary, immediate creation God, not a mediate creation. He is not a mediate creature. He is not a secondary creation, but a primary creation. And he created him in his image. In his image he created he. Them. Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man in our shadow casting likeness, spiritual likeness, in our blood flowing likeness, the likeness of Jesus Christ, and in our sovereign likeness, let him have dominion over all things, as we do. And there's where we have the volition of all mankind, because God created man in his sovereign image. In the book of Malachi, it says here, in verse 2, 1 and verse 2, I have loved you, says the Lord. But you say, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord, yet I love Jacob. And I have hated Esau, and I have made his mountains desolation, and appointed his inheritance for the jackals and the wilderness. And then we go down here in verse number 4. And it says, though Edom says we have been beaten down, but we will return and build up the ruins, and thus saith the Lord of hosts, they may build up, but I will tear down, and men will call them in wicked territory, and the people toward them whom the Lord is indignant. That word there is za'am. Za'am. The Hebrew word za'am, which means to hate, to rage, to boil. And it literally means to foam at the mouth. Be so mad you foam at the mouth. There are people that God hates. I have stated this before. We're coming at it from a little bit different evidence or a little bit different angle tonight. Now, in the second chapter of the book of Malachi, God has a plan. God has a plan. Now, God created man in his image, in innocence. And woman is, what kind of creation is woman? You out there. Woman is a mediate creation. Woman was created from something else. Man was created from God himself, a primary or immediate creation. And woman was created from some other object, which is man. The word for man in Hebrew is yesh, and the word for woman is isha, which means out of man. Now, God, in his plans, we see Psalm 23, we see Isaiah 53, we see the suffering Messiah, we see the rejected Messiah. God created man. He knew that he would fall. He put man under the age of conscience. The responsibility was to do good and offer a blood sacrifice. He failed. Wickedness. We have mankind in Genesis 6 chapter, crossing up with demonic fallen angels, demon forces and fallen angels. We see God destroying this earth and cleansing it from all of that wickedness. In Genesis, the 6th chapter, we have B'nai Ha'elohim, the sons of God, married the daughters of men. He thought they were beautiful. The book of Enoch tells us what those fallen angels' names were and what terrible sins they introduced into the human race. According to the Word of God and according to the book of Enoch, which is historical, at least, if not some inspired, we find that mankind would have destroyed himself. God did not create animals to be eaten originally. Animals were companions. Animals were companions. Now, I have people that write questions to me. And I have one that has asked me several questions over the time, David Litton. And he asked me a question the other day about animal sacrifices. And then we talked about keeping the law. Now, the law was given by Moses. We have a promise to Abraham, which is the foundation of all things. That's an unconditional covenant. And then we have the Davidic covenant. God always, according to the book of Genesis, was going to have a king on his throne of Israel. And this king was set on the throne over here in the millennial reign. Now, we look at all this stuff, all these plans that we have, God's unpreventable progress and eternal purpose. But everything that God, we have a progressive revelation. All of the sacrifices led to Christ. Now, the law, back in the Old Testament times, they tithed. That's how Cain got in trouble. He wouldn't tithe, and he didn't offer a tithe to God. He cut it wrongly. It says he divided incorrectly. And then he offered a sacrifice, a polluted, cursed sacrifice from a cursed earth. And God rejected it, and then he murdered. Now Eve, when she created Cain means gotten, she said, I've gotten, and of course Genesis 3:15 is the first promise of a Messiah in the Bible. They believed it. And her confession of faith is, I have gotten a man, even the Messiah, the Lord. Well, all they saw in Cain was their own fulfillment of their rebellion and hate toward God. Arum. Their sin. Their sinfulness. We go on. We see God establishing the law. Now the law is not basically, that is a what we call a conditional covenant. That conditional covenant of the law has already been fulfilled. Should we keep the law? No, we should not keep the law. Should we keep the tenets of the law by conscience? Should we steal? Should we lie? Should we cheat? Should we commit adultery? Should we kill? No. But remember this. All of the animals that were sacrificed were a type of Christ. All of those feasts of Israel were pointing to Christ. The animals were not created to be eaten originally. We find that mankind were killing and depopulating the earth with animals. These are the Nephilim. These are the crossed hybrids. That they were depopulating the earth, according to the book of Enoch. They were drinking the blood of the animals and killing and drinking the blood of humans. This is a vampire deal. If you go read that, the book of Enoch will scare the daylights out of you. Ought to. It happened. Because of that, we have the flood. God did not bring the flood because of emergency planning. That was part of his eternal purpose. And then after the flood, we have the human government set up, and God said to spread out and to multiply and to establish a government whereby mankind would be protected from other man, and that man would be protected from the government and other entities. They failed. They built one universal power, just like it's going to happen in the book of Revelation, the one last uniworld government political system. Political and religious system. They did that then. This is the type of the Antichrist to come. God divided the earth and confused the languages. People went to where they could understand each other, and then he divided the earth and we have the continents. This is what we call Pangaea to begin with, or God wanted, and now we have the continental drift. The continents drifted apart quite rapidly, I might say. God has a plan, the secret of election. Don't confuse Israel with the church. Don't confuse limited atonement, irresistible grace, in that God created man with intuition that there is a God. All mankind have this. All mankind have the ability to respond to the call of God. Now, the angels and spirits made their choice. They are not going to be redeemed. Mankind has a chance. All mankind has a chance of redemption. We do not go to hell because of sin. We go to hell because of the rejection of God's Messiah, Son. God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God became flesh. Kai hologos sarx again, until I've repeated that term, that Greek phrase, 10,000 times in my ministry. And the Word and the Jehovah fleshy became and dwelt among us.
to redeem us. That is our atonement, our Redeemer. And it was a universal atonement. It was capable, sufficient to save all mankind. People go to hell because of rejection of Jesus Christ. God did not create the damned. He created all man equal with the ability to respond to the call of God. Those that will not respond are guilty of rejecting that sufficient grace that God gave to all mankind. The secret of election is that mankind has the ability to respond to the call of God. That mankind is created in the sovereign image of God. Genesis 1:26. That mankind was to have sovereignty over all the earth, like God has sovereignty. God gave Adam a tremendous gift in that sovereignty. And that sovereignty has run down to us. The woman does not pass on the sin nature to a child. It is the father that does. It's because of your father that you're a sinner. It's because of that infected, vicious, rampant, hellish blood that runs in our veins that we fight against God. The call of God, we have the spirit of rebellion in us. And when we're born again, the Spirit of God comes and dwells in us and affects our soul and affects our flesh. If you're a child of God, you will have some of the attributes of your Creator. We're born the first time, we're born in sin. When we're born the second time, when we believe that the Lord says in His Word, in His beautiful, beautiful Word, I want to read this little plan of salvation to you. Romans 3:10. There is no one righteous, no, not one. All men are born in sin. We're all born sinners. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For all have gone astray. That's the word hamartia. And then we have astokio, the word astokio, which means, that means to fall short. That means to miss the mark. Hamartia does not mean to miss the mark. It means to go astray. It comes from hamartō. But then we have this word astokio, which is the equivalent of the Hebrew chatha, which means to miss the mark. For all have sinned, have gone astray, and have fallen short, missed the mark of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 says, well, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, not through your works, not through your moral ability, the secret to election. It's not Arminianism. It's not hyper-Calvinism. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All mankind. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the whole world, the cosmos, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, the individuals that believe in Him, should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 10:9-10 says, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus Christ died for your sin, and He was raised for your justification. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever, and that's all of mankind, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a flat statement. Now let's go to 1 John, the last, very last scripture that I'll read and leave with you. 1 John 2:2. My children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And He Himself is the helosmos, the helosterion, the mercy seat, the covering of our sin. for our sins, and not for ours only, but for those of the entire cosmos. The secret to election is that through Jesus Christ, the merits of Jesus Christ only, that God is going to redeem the whole universe back to Himself. Not the lost. We're not talking about universalism. He's going to redeem the whole universe, all the stars and planets back to Himself through the merits of Jesus Christ. And mankind will be in three different entities: Israel, the family of God, or the church. And the church is the bride of Christ, which will be so close in entity and proximity with our Lord and Savior. If you're out there today, I hope you have learned the secret of election. The secret and the mystery of election. And how God, through His eternal purpose and unpreventable progress, has made plans. And you are part of that plan. You are part of that plan. God has something for you to do. And even if you're lost, you're part of that plan. Have you rejected Jesus Christ? You won't go to hell because of your sins. You go to hell because of rejecting salvation that God so freely gave to us. Our Father, we come to You and we thank You for Your Word. And I pray that this message will go out and it will touch hearts. And people will know what they believe. And people will really realize the secret of election. In Jesus' name we send it out for Thy sake. Amen.